بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. سبحانك وبحمدك، لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله، all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us life and has given us iman. He's given us life by which we are able to bring iman. And this iman gives us purpose, this iman gives us meaning, this iman gives us fulfillment. That we're able to live our life knowing that there's a hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, through this iman, we are able to recognize and we are given this religion of Islam, a complete way of life, deen, a complete way of life. And as I mentioned previously, that Islam is a whole way of life, and broadly, it has five categories, five constituents. The first of which is imaniyat aqaid. So what are our beliefs in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities, how the universe is contingent, it came into being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality of being khaliq, etc. Our beliefs in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, in regards to the Qur'an, our sources of knowledge, all these things are part of our aqaid. Then number two, ibadat, our worship, our salah, our zakah, our fasting, our hajj, all part of our ibadat. Then a third category, our mu'amalat, our transactions and exchanges, not as limited to monetary, but far more than that, and I'll explain. Number four, mu'asharat, our social interactions, meaning how do we live with others? How do we interact with others? Not transactional, but more relationships, being a guest, etc. How does a person socialize? And the fifth one, akhlaq, a person's inner qualities. Now the difference between number four and number five, some differentiate between them to say that in mu'asharat, it's more the external. Akhlaq is the internal. For example, if a person has humility, how that is going to be exhibited and displayed is going to be in his mu'asharat, is going to be in his social interactions. So that's the difference between them. But as I mentioned, that these, if you look at these five broad constituents, these five broad categories, it shows how holistic and comprehensive our religion is. That our religion is not just limited to our beliefs. You know how others have certain ideologies. Yeah, there might be a law, but nobody adheres to that law. And it's just a matter of you believe, that's it, about belief. But in our religion, it's so comprehensive that there's an element of what's in our mind, a cognitive aspect, a part which we believe in, the ideological aspect, and there's the aspect of our behavior. How is that displayed? That our faith is one about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's a law by which we live. There's a law which we live, the fiqh, we live by the law. That our religion has a paradigm, it has a worldview, how we look at the lens of the world, and with that lens we act. For example, we look at the Palestinian plight, the struggle, which is not just the Palestinian plight, but it's the Ummah's plight. That with our lens, how do we perceive that? How do we look at that? People can look at it as oppression, we will look at it as oppression, but we'll also look at it as duty. What's our role in this? So, Islam is not just limited to beliefs, or not just limited to ibadat, but an actual whole way of life wherein it should dictate our behaviors. And a part of that, the third one of that, was mu'amalat. And last week, last Sunday, we had a talk, there was a program arranged on finances and on commercial law. Now one thing I want to highlight over here is that look, Islam, there's a law which we live. Primarily number one with the law, we follow it submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us the law, the sharia, the religion, the fiqh. We follow that. That's number one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. He is the all-wise. Now him being the all-wise means that necessarily, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands is going to be filled with wisdom. Naturally, that's going to be the consequence. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these commandments, it's in our best interests. The masalih are there. The benefits are there to avoid the harms. Now, since we are individuals that are going to socialize, we have a social life. A person can't survive on his own. A person needs to transact, needs to exchange, to continue to live. Therefore, we need laws that are going to regulate that to ensure there's stability in society. That's why we have those laws. Now, Sharia has given us this, which is why Mu'amalat is a significant category, where our interactions, meaning our exchanges and transactions, there are laws pertaining to that. Now, one major aspect of our social life is in relation to marriage. And I'll give an example. That our religion's comprehensiveness, and I've just been highlighting for the past few minutes about how comprehensive and how holistic our faith is. And look at how the following incident, it highlights this comprehensiveness of our faith. Anas رضي الله عنه narrates that أَنَّ نَفَرًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم سَأَلُوا أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم عَنْ عَمَلِهِ. That certain companions, a group of companions came to the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, and they came to ask in regards to Rasulullah ﷺ's actions, in his private actions, meaning what's he do, what, how are his a'mal at home. So when they asked, and they, the Ummatul Mu'mineen, they responded, they, I wouldn't say trivialized, but they thought that that's not a lot. And what they said was that he is a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything he is going to do, any even errors, not sins, any errors, they're going to be forgiven anyway. But for us, we need to go a step beyond. So what they then said, فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لَا أَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ. Some of them said that I am never going to marry. I'm not going to get married. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لَا أَكُلُ اللَّحْمِ. I am not going to consume meat, meaning I'm going to stay away from all luxuries. Some of them said, لَا أَنَامُ عَلَى فِرَاشِ. That I'm never going to sleep on bedding. I'm going to stay away from all forms of luxury. Rasulullah ﷺ, being told about this, being informed about this, then addresses the people. And this, my point over here is trying to highlight, look at how comprehensive our deen is. It doesn't remove desires, it regulates them. There's no celibacy in Islam. It's not like previous faiths where you live a life of abstinence. It regulates our desires. It doesn't prevent them altogether, it regulates them. Rasulullah ﷺ then addresses the people and he says, مَا بَارُ أَقْوَامٍ قَالُوا كَذَا وَكَذَا. He never said who it was. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't mention who exactly, but he said that what is up with people that they are saying such and such things? And then he said, Rasulullah ﷺ, who is the closest servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, لَكِنِّي أُصَلِّي وَأَنَامُ. I perform salah and I also go to sleep. I don't spend the entire night in tahajjud. He performs salah and he also goes to sleep. أَصُومُ وَأُفْطِرُ. I fast, but I also don't fast. وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءَ. And I also marry. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, meaning my way, the path he's shown, is not from my way, not following my the way of completeness in faith, not following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this shows a life of moderation includes marriage, includes having a spouse. Now, again, as I mentioned, Islam regulates our desires and it doesn't prevent them altogether. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he focused on certain key qualities about even marriage. So he said, number one, he said, تَزَوَّجُ. He said, marry. I'll just mention the hadith and I'll break it down. He said, marry. الْوَدُودُ الْوَلُودُ. Marry those that are loving and fertile. فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمُ. For I will be proud of your large numbers on the day of Qiyamah. I'll break this down into different parts. Number one, تَزَوَّجُ. Marry. Now, as I mentioned, Islam is, our religion is very, very holistic, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. Meaning, the ruling in regards to marriage will differ from person to person. We often hear that it's sunnah, which is true, but it actually differs, the scenario differs, depending on the conditions of an individual. So, for example, marriage can be fard upon a person. If a person has extreme desires, he has overwhelming desires, and is taking that person towards zina, towards fornication, and he has no control, then that person can fulfill the rights of a spouse, is fard for him to get married in that scenario. Number two, If a person has an overwhelming desire and he fears zina, or he cannot control his gaze, he's looking here and there, he cannot control his urges, and he can fulfill the right of a spouse if he gets married, it's wajib for him in that scenario to get married. A third scenario is sunnah mu'akkada, it's emphasized sunnah for an individual who's in a moderate desirous state wherein he can control his desires, but he has them, but he can control them. But he is capable of fulfilling a spouse's right. He pay the mahr, etc. He can fulfill all of the rights. He's not going to be oppressive. It's an emphasized sunnah for that individual to get married. Then there's the opposite side. A person can have desires, but if he fears oppression and he cannot fulfill the right, it's makruh tahrim or can be haram for him to get married in that situation. So like I mentioned, it's very, very holistic. And go to your local scholars to understand your own individual situation. So that number one, Rasulullah mentions that tazawwaju, marry. Then he said, al-walud, marry those that are loving. Now, a loving spouse is going to bring peace, mercy and tranquility. I'm not here to tell you about how to do that. It's just my highlights about what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has, what we find in the ahadith and the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in regards to these things. So one verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ, from amongst his signs, he has created for us, for insan, from us, spouses. Meaning, from Adam alayhi salam, Hawa was created from him. And there was that innate desire, the innate propensity and inclination towards having that companionship and partnership. That was there. And that's when Hawa was available. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ Sorry, before that. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا So that you find comfort. So number one of them is comfort. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً And that there between you there is compassion and mercy. I'll break these down. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ In this are signs for those that ponder. For the ponderers, these are signs. So that shows that the purpose of Allah mentioning these is for us to ponder. Think, what beauty has been kept within that there is this innate desire, this innate propensity to have companionship, to have partnership. A person that will be there with you during your highs, emotional highs and lows. A person that will become your confidant, your place of comfort. The word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses is لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا So that you find comfort. And the word sukoon is multifaceted. It includes psychological, it includes spiritual, physiological. All these different aspects are all included within sukoon, within the word tranquility. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the relationship in one part of هُنَّ لِبَاسُ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسُ لَهُمْ I want to understand this metaphorical example of they are garments for you and you are garments for them. Now think of clothing, right? Clothing beautifies, but it's got to be the right clothing. If you wear the wrong clothing or clothing that doesn't suit you, it's not going to look good. It's not going to beautify. So you need to ensure there's compatibility. The right clothing, similarly the right spouse. Number two, it honors you. It covers your areas that need to be covered. Your awrah is covered. Your chastity is protected. So the clothing is that honor. Similarly, the spouse, I'm just showing that the parallel, that the spouse is a means for a person to safeguard their chastity. Number three, it protects an individual. Your skin is not bare. You've got something above it protecting, you've got a protective layer above the skin. Now that's the same way that there's that emotional, there's that physical security being provided in that companionship. And one of the greatest parallels in this that you find is the clothes are the closest thing to a person's body. It's the closest thing to a person's body. And it's made to the right fit. You don't wear extremely baggy clothing, you wear that which fits. Now I'll give you an example, right? There's a case study that was a 7,000 case study that was conducted in Michigan State University. About 80% of that study were people that were married once. Around 8% were single, 12-13% the remainder of there had been in and out of relationships. They concluded from that those that had been in their single relationship, those that were married, were happier. But they mentioned marginally. My point over here is they were happier. They wrote marginally, but you got to understand that, look, for them, there's nothing to give ideologically. They're not rooted in faith. We are rooted in faith. We understand responsibility. We understand the amanah that's given and a responsibility. We understand what a nuclear family is, mutual understanding, compassion and mercy, which Allah has placed and Allah has mentioned and highlighted this. We have that, and despite their distorted and warped understanding of the nuclear structure, of a family, of relationships, despite that, they still found them to be marginally happy. And as mentioned before, that this is something which is highlighted in our religion. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that marriage is half of faith. Now you think to yourself, that how is it half of faith? It can protect a person's chastity. The spiritual elevation a person can gain from marriage in terms of the qualities he needs to develop. Meaning you're going to be with a person that you're going to tolerate. Both are going to have to adapt. You both come with your own mentality. You both come with your own family culture. You both come with your own traits and qualities. You're both going to have to adapt and adjust. For you to do that, you're going to have to develop certain qualities of sabr, patience, perseverance, to adjust to that and provide for one another. Each of them with their individual rights. For that, that requires humility, that requires sabr. These qualities are being developed. Whether you recognize it or not, these qualities are being developed. And when you think about that, you understand that how it comes towards half of a person's faith. Not only that, the chastity is protected of an individual, the honor of an individual is being protected. And as they mention, that for example, one hadith Rasulullah mentions, إِذَا أَنفَقَ مُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهُ وَيَحْتَسِبُ وَكَانَهُ صَدَقًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that when a person spends on his family whilst having the intention of being rewarded, then that is a means of sadaqah for that individual. It's a charity. So that responsibility becomes a spiritually uplifting act. And you know, in one, the dua is often made, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, oh Allah, grant us good in this life. Hasana, according to some mufassirin, actually refers to a spouse. Again, that's just some view. Many just say it's all types of goodness, and a righteous spouse is from amongst them. But it highlights that, to say that some have actually highlighted that it's that. And number three, at the final part of that hadith, when he mentions tazawwaju al-wadud al-wadud, that those that are loving, marry those that are fertile. Meaning, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that he wants to be proud of our large numbers on the day of Qiyamah. Having children, and that is a product of a marriage, in the sense that they become the children, is a beautiful, a significant, and amongst the primary purposes of a marriage. They're an investment for the akhirah. When a person passes away, all actions stop but three. إِلَّا مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ, your sadaqah jariyah will continue, أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, knowledge which is benefited from, or pious children that make dua. That investment, that continues. They're that investment. Now that investment comes with rights. They have rights, and parents have responsibilities. Now amongst them is that the parental relationship needs to be strong enough to make sure that those children grow up in a safe household. To make sure they don't grow up traumatized. They grow up as individuals who are emotionally secure. They are emotionally well. They have that mental, their mental well-being is intact. Now that comes from that correct structure, the parents' alignment, and a strong family relationship. Shaitan's plan is to cause mayhem and corruption. In one narration, it's mentioned that Iblis, his arsh, his throne, is on the sea. Whether that's metaphorical or literal, is that the narration mentions that. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثَ السَّرَيَا, then he sends his minions, or whatever you want to call them, he sends his groups out to do that, to cause corruption in the lands. فَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَنْزِلَةً أَعْظَمُهُمْ فِتْنَةً, the closest to him is going to be the one that causes the greatest fitna. So one of his people that he sends out says, فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا, today I've done such and such a thing. He says, مَا صُنَعْتَ شَيْئًا, Iblis says that you've not done anything good. That's not significant enough. That's not enough corruption. And somebody else will say, مَا تَرَقْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّقْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ امْرَأَتِهِ, that I did not leave him until I differentiated, meaning I separated him from his wife. Meaning I caused discord. I caused discord between between two. And he mentioned, فَيُدْنِيهِ مِنْهُ وَيَقُولْ نِعْمَ أَنْتَ, he brings that person closer, the one that's caused that mischief closer, and he says, نِعْمَ أَنْتَ, how great is what you've done. Meaning corruption and mayhem is the devil's job, and in doing that, one of the ways that he does that to spread corruption is to try and create discord among spouses. Now currently, the divorce rates in UK, in England and Wales, from the report of 2022 to 2024, is at 42%. Divorce rates. Now that's not just to say it's a Western thing, because you look in the countries like Qatar, according to the recent statistics, it's hitting almost 33%. So it's a global pandemic. Now I'm not saying that there aren't valid excuses, there are many valid excuses. This isn't to advocate living in oppression. If a person is oppressed, then of course remove yourself from that equation. But there are many, many scenarios wherein these divorces or these situations can be avoided. Pre-marriage, making sure the right research is done, asking the right questions. If a person is in marriage, making sure that they have the right qualities and traits to ensure things are communicated, to ensure that they can live in harmony. Now, how do people do that? That comes with understanding, that comes with maturity, understanding that passion, mercy, respect, and understanding needs to be there. Now, I'm not here to tell you how to do that. I'm not married myself. But what we've done is we've invited a guest who's coming from London, Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera. He's written a book called A Handbook of a Healthy Muslim Marriage, a 250-plus-sided, well-celebrated book, well-accepted book on this subject. He's been counseling for years on this subject. Not only that, he's a scholar that has his own iftah department, meaning he writes fatwas, etc. And with all his wisdom, he's actually flying over. He's coming to Glasgow tomorrow, and he's got a talk over here after Asr. Asr will be at 6:15, and the program will be from 6:30 till 8 o'clock, straight after Asr until 8 o'clock, on this subject. He'll talk about communication. For those that are going to get married, for those that are searching, those that are already married, meaning just newly married, and those that are experienced. For all, it's a pertinent, it'll be a pertinent workshop on key issues, communication, etc. All the key ingredients needed for a healthy marriage. On that, we've invited him. He's coming tomorrow, inshallah. All brothers are encouraged to participate. Okay.